Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, one day addressing one of his priests following, and he said to him, "If God gave you the choice of now going to heaven or if remaining on this earth with the prospect of doing something for his glory, what would you prefer?" "I would prefer to go to heaven," was the reply. "As for me," continued the saint, "I would prefer to remain on this earth to do the will of God and render him some service. And with regard to my salvation, I doubt not that God would take care of me and would not suffer one to perish who, for love of him, had willingly delayed his entrance into heaven." When we consider today's gospel, as we just heard, with our Lord sleeping, or it seemed he slept, and the apostles very fearful, we truly see many times ourselves in the place of these apostles who are very fearful. The apostles had up to this moment, to this time, frequently been witnessed of the wonderful miracles of our Lord. And therefore, when the tempest raged on the sea, they should have held their peace and consoled themselves with the thought, "Christ, our blessed Lord, to God and to man, is with us. No harm really can befall us." But instead of putting their trust in our Lord and holding their peace, they experienced the greatest fear, and in their excitement cried out, "Lord, save us, we perish." And our Lord rebuked them for their lack of faith in these words, "Why you are fearful, O ye of little faith?" And if we consider ourselves, our life, our conduct is many times not better, frequently more blamable than that of the apostles. For many times it needs no severe trial at all or great affliction to make us lose our courage, to be depressed, to be sad, to despair, and imagine that all is lost. But why is it that we act in such a way? Because we lack confidence in God. Because of this gospel today, which truly stresses this confidence of God, I would like to talk to you today about the confidence in God. How our confidence in God must be. First, our confidence in God must be firm. A Christian, a Catholic, must be in every circumstance of life, even in the greatest danger and afflictions, be penetrated with the conviction that God will protect him and ordain everything for his good. This confidence we must have because of the power, the goodness, and the wisdom of God. God is almighty, and you must ponder, you must consider what it means for a moment, God is almighty. It doesn't take for God anything, no effort, to help us in a particular circumstance. He is almighty. There is no necessity in which he cannot help us. And an example for this great confidence would be the woman in the gospel that was troubled, if you remember, with an issue of blood. And she said, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But our confidence in God also must be very, very active, so to speak. We must do what is required on our part if we wish to obtain anything from God. In temporal things, he who wishes to succeed in this world must learn some trade or profession and labor diligently. He who wishes to reap a good harvest must prepare his field and sow good seed. He cannot just say, without sowing his seed, God will take care of it. And he who wishes to recover from a certain sickness must make use of the appropriate means for the recovery of health. Our confidence must be firm in matters pertaining to our salvation. If we wish to go to heaven one time after our death on this earth, we must consciously keep the commandments of God. If we wish to obtain forgiveness for our many sins, we must be sorry for our sins. We must go to confession. How do we expect that God forgives us if we don't do this, if we don't go to confession, if we not ask God to forgive us? If we wish to remain in the state of sanctifying grace, it is the same. We must watch and we must pray. But our confidence in God is solely based on the merits of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We owe everything to the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, particularly the forgiveness of our sins. Concerning the forgiveness of our sins, there can be never doubt about that God would forgive us or not forgive us. He is the Lamb who taketh away the sins of the world. And St. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The grace to be good is also based on the merits of our blessed Lord. Our Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The grace of resisting temptations, of performing good and meritorious acts, of persevering in good, this grace, as in fact all graces that contribute to our salvation, flows to us from the merits, from the death of our blessed Lord. And so, our own eternal salvation, in order to go to heaven, to be saved, it is necessary to avoid evil, to keep the commandments, to perform good and meritorious acts, and to persevere in justice to the end. All things which are impossible without the grace of God. But even temporal goods, such as food, raiment, success, shelter, health, even prosperity in our undertakings. For this reason, Christ himself directs us to pray in his name that our Heavenly Father may hear us, as I explained it on the feast of the holy name of our blessed Lord. Our Lord says, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Our problem is if we pray for something, we don't believe that we will obtain it. Oh, we just believe it. Let's see, 60% and the other 40%, we doubt Almighty God. But our Lord says, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. This is the great love, divine love of God the Father to mankind. And the foundation, therefore, of all our confidence in God are the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the life of St. Bernard of Clairvaux that the devil one day suggested to him the thought, Bernard, you hope to attain heaven, you miserable creature, where are your merits for so great a joy and glory? And the saint replied to the tempter, the devil, it is true, I am absolutely unworthy of heaven. It is true, I do not, and never shall merit it. Nevertheless, I hope for it, because the goodness, the love, and mercy of God are infinite. I hope to enjoy the everlasting glory of the heavenly kingdom, because Jesus Christ has merited it for me. And we should say the same thing. God is at all times, inclined to give us everything good. And even if he does not always grant us what we think we need, we should nevertheless not waver for a single moment in our confidence in him. Because Jesus Christ abundantly merited for us all natural and supernatural goods and graces. Now, what are the effects of this confidence in Almighty God? The first effect is it delivers us from worldly anxieties and cares. And we're talking here anxieties and cares and worries in an exaggerated way. Our Lord says, when he talks about the cares and the anxieties, the heathen seek after all these things because they have no knowledge of God, and consequently no confidence in him. But Christians, Catholics on the contrary, who know God and trust in him, should live quietly and are comforted, for they know that he ordains everything, every little thing in your life for their good. That even what appears to be to you and to me an evil is good and expedient if we only make proper use of it. And this thought should punish all tormenting cares from our hearts. And we should always therefore be resigned to the will of God. Because God is a loving Father. And even that little term, loving Father, you must pound on it, you must meditate upon it. We should say with King David, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me." But how does it happen that we are always full of cares and troubles and worries, that we torment ourselves in an exaggerated way and never find rest and peace in our souls? It seems almost we want to do everything on our own without God. But it comes from lack of confidence in Almighty God. Let us make frequent acts of confidence in God in order to confirm ourselves in this virtue. O Lord, I trust in you. Secondly, this confidence affords comfort in sufferings, in particular in persecutions, so that one bears them not only with patience, but in the ideal case, with joy even, as the saints did. For confidence has its foundation in faith, which teaches us that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. And we should remind ourselves of this sentence of St. Paul when we have to undergo great sufferings and tribulations, that the sufferings of this world, of this time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. And for this very reason, the saints endured with patience and even joy, whatever painful and difficult thing they were obliged to bear in their life. But also this confidence gives us courage and strength in our temptations. Our life upon this earth is a warfare. There are enemies within and without, for the world, the flesh, and the devil are raging a continual war against us and using all their endeavors to draw us into sin, into hell. And what can sustain our courage amid so many and great dangers? It is nothing else than confidence in God. This holds us firm and secure in the midst of storms in the hand of a loving Father, as the anchor holds the ship in the certainty of assistance from above. We should not fear an enemy or know no danger. We feel ourselves strong and powerful and full of confidence. We may say with King David, "Our God is our refuge and strength, a helper in troubles, which have found us exceedingly. Therefore, we will not fear when the earth shall be troubled and the mountains shall be removed into the heart of the sea." St. Francis de Sales, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday, and who is the main patron saint of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, suffered great temptations, as he writes in a letter. Many times we have that very strange thought that the saints were just different men, that the saints were, they never had temptations, but that's a completely wrong understanding. He writes in one of his letters, "I am tempted so violently that the necessary strength for resisting seems to be wanting to me, and I fear I should fall if an opportunity presented itself." And he adds, "The weaker, however, I feel myself, the more my confidence in God increases. For I am confident that he will give me so great a power that I could devour my enemies like young lambs, even if the object of my sinful desire were present to me. This great confidence, therefore, gives us this courage and this strength. Confidence in God banishes all disquietude and immoderate cares from our heart, infuses into our heart courage and consolation in trials and persecutions, strengthens us in temptations, and encourages us to practice virtue and good works. Let us always act as Christians, as followers of Christ, who believe that they are under God's fatherly protection. Let us do what reason and religion prescribe in order to make ourselves worthy of the protection and the assistance and the help of our Heavenly Father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.